Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
You can't make this stuff up, people. You just can't make it up. I'm Tim Wildman. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're wondering, what is he talking about? Well, we're about to tell you what we're talking about. If you haven't heard already, if you follow the news, you have. Joining me to co-host the program, we got a lot to talk about today and a lot of great guests, including Ray Comfort coming on later on. I tell you what, good morning, Ed Battagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
And Walker Wildman's over there updating our Facebook. We've been on the air 60 seconds. Have you already updated our Facebook page?
Yeah, I'm putting Fred's story up that he's about to talk about.
Okay. Hey, Fred, how you doing? Fred Jackson?
Good to be here.
Let me just, Walker Wildman is, so you're going to, our Facebook page, folks, we have totally engaged. Maybe you've heard of something called Facebook. Well, we have too. And we're putting everything we talk about up here, we're putting on our Facebook page.
Yeah, we only have limited time here to talk about these stories. Right. Some people want to read more about them, find out more information, and that's what the Facebook page is
for.
I'm
all into this technology thing. I'm on FaceChat.
Are you? Really?
Yes. I'm.
Well, I'm...
Snap Twitter.
Got a party line at my house.
I'll tell you what.
I'm in.
I'm not going to brag, but I'm known as the email whiz. You know, in my circle of friends.
Huh? Email.
The email whiz. That's so we're up to date with our technology here. All right, so much to talk about. Ray Comfort will be coming along to talk to us a little bit later on in the program, our good friend Ray Comfort from Living Waters. And Walker, what's he going to talk to us about?
About his new book / film called Atheist Delusions.
Yeah. Ray Comfort is one of the best I know Christian leaders who give us ammo to talk to unbelievers, to atheists, to agnostics in a way that will compel them to listen to the gospel message. So we'll talk to our good friend Ray Comfort. First of all, what's in the news out there? I said you can't make this stuff up, Fred. What am I talking about?
Well, you know, guys, for years as a news director, I have always warned newsrooms, watch out for Friday afternoons.
Right.
Because the biggest news sometimes comes down on Friday afternoon when everybody's kind of relaxed, the week is over. Mm-hmm. Well, on
They try to bury it.
And they try to bury it, yeah, especially.
Because Saturday and Sunday is not part of the news cycle. It's about football and
People aren't paying attention.
Recreation. Yeah. People got all going out to dinner, and so people aren't paying attention to the news. So you dump it on Friday night, and by Monday, you know, it's old news. So go ahead.
Friday afternoon, just when the Hillary Clinton camp thought that they had this whole thing in the election in the bag, the polls were going in their favor, et cetera, along comes FBI Director James Comey and says, you know, I think I'm going to reopen the investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails.
He didn't say it exactly like that,
no,
right?
I'm paraphrasing. He said basically what happened in a totally separate case. Anthony Weiner, all right, former New York congressman. He has been in the news for doing bad things with his cell phone camera, et cetera, et cetera.
A sexting a 15-year-old girl, supposedly.
Yeah, really bad. So he's being investigated by the FBI. So they're going through his computer, and all of a sudden there are not hundreds, but thousands of emails begin to show up that seem to have come from Hillary Clinton, State Department emails, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's so many of these emails, and I guess there was enough in the content of the initial examination of these that all of a sudden he says, I have to go back and reopen the Clinton email investigation because we're finding thousands of emails related to State Department matters on this server, this computer owned by Anthony Weiner. Well, that just explodes once again. And then there's the accusations that have been going on all weekend from the Democrats who loved the FBI director back there in July when he said he wasn't going to charge Hillary Clinton. There wasn't enough evidence to successfully prosecute her. They just thought he was a greater thing than sliced bread. He's a wonderful, honorable man. Now they're saying that James Comey is interfering with the election. Harry Reid is out there saying that Comey is violating the Hatch Act by interfering with the election, that it's just terrible that he has done this sort of thing. Now, part of the background in all of this is that we learned last week there was been a revolt going on within the FBI, that there are agents who believe that Hillary Clinton should have been charged way back there in July. And they were about to explode publicly about all of this.
Who was about to explode?
These FBI agents who were frustrated. They felt way back when that there was enough evidence to accuse
that James Comey was protecting Hillary Clinton for political
reasons.
That's what it was.
Another part of this chapter, part of a big sidebar story on all of this, and it's coming out this weekend more and more, there's been a huge battle between the Justice Department under Loretta Lynch, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and the FBI. The accusations being made is that the Justice Department, right from the get-go, was discouraging the FBI from investigating the Hillary Clinton emails, her server, discouraging any aggressive investigation about the Clinton Foundation when the pay-to-play accusations were being made. And so we've had this apparently tension going on between the Justice Department and the FBI. So we have all of that. Now, this morning, I've been listening to interviews this morning with Democrat analysts, Democrat supporters. Some of these supporters, this is hard to believe, folks, some of these supporters are blaming this latest revelation about Clinton emails on Anthony Weiner's computer. They're blaming this on the Russians. They say the Russians, this is their comeback.
Oh, those Ruskies.
So wait, let me stop you right there. 650,000 emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop.
By the way, he is the husband of
Uma Abedin.
Estranged husband.
Estranged.
Yes. About Uma Abedin, who is
Vice President of her election campaign, and has been her
top aide
for years.
So
years and years.
650,000 emails found their way onto his laptop because of the Russians.
Right. That's what they're trying to say.
Oh, that's totally believable.
But that's what they're out there saying. I've heard
now, when you say
Lanny Davis and others, these are high-profile people who are saying this.
But the same thing during the debate, the final debate, nobody's denying the content of the emails. Nobody's denying that this is accurate.
Yes.
They're just blaming the Russians for letting the rest of us know about it.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to make sure I get the story straight.
What's the political fallout from this? So this Walker, she dropped in the polls, didn't she?
Yeah, well, in the past few weeks, if I'm right, the ABC Washington Post joint poll that they've been running, they've been using
two liberal media outlets.
Right.
I might add.
Right. Her lead has shrunk 11 points, 10 to 11 points.
It was 12. She was up
She was up 12 a week ago.
Yes. A week ago. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, every day this poll has been going down and down and down and down. And now she's within three.
She's up one.
She's
right?
up 1 point. Now, some of them are saying this morning that these latest, the polls going down the last week, had a lot to do with the Obamacare controversy last week. Obamacare blowing up.
Yeah.
And so that poll has been decreasing. Some are saying that these latest polls haven't even factored in James Comey's announcement from Friday.
Right.
So the Clinton cab is just, what are we going to do?
Yeah, even before the FBI reopened its investigation, her polls were shrinking, like you said. So this wasn't looking good from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lay the FBI reopening its investigation on top of that. This is not going to be good.
And I do want to get back to the importance of that. But just as an explanation for those, you did a great job summarizing what is being looked at. When you mentioned the Clinton Foundation pay for play, explain to our listeners what you mean by that terminology.
Well, basically, while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, you have Bill Clinton over here and their daughter running the Clinton Foundation. What has come out in these WikiLeaks emails is that there was business going on between Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, her office, that favored the Clinton Foundation. For instance, Morocco, the Moroccan government wanted a get-together. And what they agreed to do was pay the Clinton Foundation $12 million if Hillary Clinton would come and speak at some big event in Morocco.
Mm-hmm. As Secretary of State.
As Secretary of State. So that's a nice pay to play.
Right.
$12 million in exchange, you come and talk to us, and probably for further considerations the Moroccan government may make of requests of the U.S. government.
Right.
Also, in addition to that, was the information that came out that half the people, I think it was about 50% of the individuals who got to meet with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton while she was in office, also made donations to the Clinton Foundation.
Yes.
So
that's what you mean by pay to play.
And there's one more, that came out over the last couple of weeks, had to do with Haiti. Mm-hmm. All right?
Oh, that's a mess.
Oh, it's a huge mess. Again, Hillary Clinton, still Secretary of State, all right? And so the recovery from the earthquake in Haiti, and then there were emails that there was cross conversation between the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton's office, and the Clinton Foundation. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, wanted to know what companies wanted to go in and help out in Haiti if they were FOBs, Friends of Bill. All right.
It's a mess. And you know what? By the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It's a mess, a sordid mess, and the you know what? The Clintons just can't. They just can't. You know they
can't get away. They
have no ethics.
They almost can't help themselves.
No,
I mean it's just the way they operate.
I would just say this. Now. We've criticized Republicans and Democrats before. And you know what? None of us listening or talking are incapable of corruption.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? Because we're all sinners and we're all susceptible to all kind of wrongdoing. However, when you have people who don't fear God at all, all right? I don't care if they're Republican or Democrats. You have people that don't fear God at all, and so therefore they don't believe in the Ten Commandments. They don't believe in lying is wrong other than when they get caught. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If that's your attitude towards life, then you don't care what you do. Mm-hmm. It's the end justifies the means, and you will do as much as you can get away with.
Right.
And so powerful people figure out that they can get away with stuff and not be held accountable for it, then they'll do it.
Yeah.
And in this case, it may or may not catch up with the Clintons because if she wins, then it won't catch up with them.
Right.
Damage has been done to whatever reputation that they had. Mm-hmm. But I think most people, even Democrats, the people on TV who are defending the Clintons they're grasping at straws now. They're like, not again.
Blame the Russians.
Well, and one more example of the pay to play. Qatar, the Middle Eastern Muslim country, Qatar, of which we transfer some Gitmo guys to, expecting them to keep them under wraps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can trust
that worked
Qatar.
Out really well.
Yeah, Qatar emails some of Clinton's top aides, Hillary Clinton's top aides. And say they want to meet with Bill to give him a $1 million check they promised for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
goodness.
If I'm not mistaken.
As I said, you cannot make this stuff
up. How come I don't have friends like that in my life?
Happy
birthday.
Revealed in WikiLeaks, Hillary Clinton's own campaign admitted that Qatar is funding ISIS in her own emails. So she's getting getting a $1 million check from a country that Hillary admitted funds ISIS.
You got all that going on, and then you throw in a guy named Anthony Weiner, and you got a sordid tale, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wilmer with Ed Battagliano. Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, news director. Now, Fred, what do we have at onenewsnow.com?
Well, this story we've just been talking about obviously is front and center on the page, but we're also got a front page story this morning on the reaction over the decision by Lifeway Bookstore to remove books written by an author, by Jen Hatmaker.
Hatmaker.
And just in case we have folks who don't know what's going on here, basically, Jen Hatmaker, very well known in Christian literature circles, very well known.
A lot of Christian women's groups use her books and so forth.
She gave an interview recently to the Religion News Service and basically said that she rejects what the Bible says about homosexuality. And I just want to quote. I don't want to quote from that interview with the Religion News Service so you understand.
She got her claim to fame, so to speak, as she does write Christian books. Thomas Nelson is her publisher. But she had a show, I guess, on HGTV, which gave her a broad audience.
Yes.
Her name is Jen
Hatmaker.
Hatmaker.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
Here's what she said in this interview with the Religion News Service. Not only are these our neighbors, referring to homosexuals, not only are these our neighbors and friends, but they are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are adopted into the same families as the rest of us, and the church hasn't treated the LGBT community like family. We have to do better. She went on to say, from a civil rights and civil liberties side, and from just a human being side, any two adults have the right to choose who they want to love. And they should be afforded the same legal protections. From a spiritual perspective, she went on to say, since gay marriage is legal in all 50 states, our communities have plenty of gay couples who, just like the rest of us, need marriage support and parenting help and Christian community. They are either going to find those resources in the church or they're not.
And she also said that LGBT relationships, quote, can be holy.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, and so that's heresy.
Yes.
But heresy, that's not even questionable.
It's false teaching.
False teaching.
She's
written several books now. Oh, yeah. Now, Lifeway Christian bookstore chain pulled her books, didn't they?
Last Friday. Yeah, they did.
Good for them.
But, I mean, we've got an interview. We've talked to our own Alex McFarland about this, and we've talked to Lifeway about this, obviously, their decision on this. But we're also exploring today in our news service, how do we get to this point? How does a person get to this point where they're comfortable, not only in a maybe personal belief or a bias, but saying this to a news agency and believing that and blaming the church for mistreating homosexuals and homosexuality, you have to abandon Orthodox Christianity to do that.
It's poor theology.
Yes.
Well, and even if some Christians have acted in their confrontation of this issue, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt, and I'll say, yeah, maybe some Christians have used ugly words in talking about homosexuals and maybe have not been compassionate. That doesn't change what the Bible says about it.
No.
And that seems to be a growing, at least among some Christians, a new way of looking at Scripture. That really it doesn't matter what the Bible says. All that matters is how Christians act as they're holding to what they believe is true, which, you know.
No, but she believes that homosexual couples can be in a holy relationship.
Mm. No, that's true. That's an additional false teaching. What I'm saying, there's a growing examination on this issue and saying, listen, what matters is that Christians have mistreated homosexuals. We owe them an apology.
Right.
We need to repent. And I say, look, there's all kinds of things I have to repent of. Like you said earlier, you know, we're all sinners. I am not going to repent about what the Bible says about homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
That how we act doesn't change what the Bible says. She seems to be saying, well, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and so but Lifeway, and we're, again, we're talking about Jen Hatmaker.
Hatmaker, yes.
A lot of people will recognize that name, especially Christian women who have bought her books before.
Mm-hmm.
But she came out in an interview with
Religion News Service.
Religion News Service, and she's saying she's all in with the LGBT movement.
Has Thomas Nelson made any kind of a comment? Because Life, as Tim mentioned, Lifeway, they issued a very strong statement,
yes,
saying, "Listen, this is a
we commend Lifeway for
we
this.
Commend Absolutely. Lifeway." Has Thomas Nelson? I mean, are they a Southern Baptist publisher?
Thomas Nelson, no,
no, they're just
no. That Lifeway is affiliated with the Southern Baptist.
Lifeway is, yes,
yeah. But Thomas Nelson is just
they're
an evangelical.
Okay. I think they may be owned by. I want to say Thomas Nelson got bought up by a secular company, and they're a subsidiary of. I'll have to look that up. But her books now. In fairness to Thomas Nelson, they my guess is they didn't know anything about her views on this until last. As to borrow from President Obama, I learned about it when the news reported on it.
Right,
and they're probably internally having to decide: do we continue on with her or not? But I, you know what this is? It's a lot of, I think. Well, this is heresy. Or false teaching, as you put it, by Jen Hatmaker, because you're talking about 2,000 years of teaching in Christendom on human sexuality, and it's always, agreed. That teaching is always agreed. How do I express this? That teaching has always been that homosexuality, the act. Of homosexual sex is sinful.
Right.
It's against biblical teaching.
That's indisputable.
Yes. But she's disputing it.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You have now, these.
I will mention this, that on if you go to AFA.net and go to The Stand, which is our blog site, I did this summer into the fall, I did a whole series of blogs that examine the biblical passages about homosexuality, because people like Jen Hatmaker, I imagine, and then other Christians and then other homosexual activists who say the Bible doesn't really mean that homosexuality is a sin. It means blah, 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 blah. Well, I answer all those arguments in
my series.
Where
can you find this?
That's on The Stand. I did that this past summer.
Can you help Walker find it, and then he'll put it on our Facebook page?
I'll put it on the Facebook page.
Okay, this is a series of five or six articles at blogs. And the reason I did it, oddly enough, is that there's a United Methodist minister. I want to say he was in Birmingham.
Tuscaloosa.
It was Tuscaloosa. Good, thank you. And he did a sermon that really was wide-ranging, Reverend Dunavant, I think is how you pronounce his name. And I was so angry that he twisted the scriptures. Mm-hmm. I went down every scripture and talked about what these scriptures actually teach, because there's a lot of people twisting the scriptures. And in Hatmaker's case, I don't know if she twists the scriptures or simply ignores
them.
Well,
if you look at her words, and this is what we're going to try to get at today, is this trend. And Barna has noted this. This trend towards emotion taking over orthodoxy.
Right.
She says in here, we have friends
Hatmaker,
and neighbors.
You're quoting Hatmaker?
Hatmaker. We have friends and neighbors who are homosexuals. They're nice people. I'm paraphrasing here now. They're nice people. And the emotions begin to trump orthodoxy.
Yeah.
They're nice people. How can they be bad?
Right.
How can God be against what
they're
doing?
There's a lot of men who cheat on the women that are great guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That cheat on their wives that are great guys.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
friends and neighbors commit adultery, but we don't justify their adultery.
No.
Right.
No, this is a trend. I don't know how large it is. Of course, many of the mainline Protestant denominations have already sold out on the homosexual question, and that's why they're the mainline Protestant denominations will be dead in 20 years, completely dead, if not sooner, and they subscribe to this heresy as well. But even inside, quote, evangelical circles, it's the feelings are outweighing the
doctrine.
The doctrine.
What the Bible teaches.
The truth,
right.
Fred, thanks so much.
You're welcome. OneNewsNow.com.
OneNewsNow.com.
It's a great piece, by the way, on Hatmaker.
Yep.
Jeremy Wiggins coming up after the break, and we'll talk more about what's going on in the world. Stay with us.
American Family Radio presents Pray and Vote.
In Jesus' name.
If we as God's people will humble ourselves and pray, He will hear our prayers and heal our land. On Tuesday, just a week before Election Day, Tim Wildman, Franklin Graham, and others will pray for the elections and for our nation. God is our one true hope. Listen to American Family Radio Tuesday beginning at 5 p.m. Central for Pray and Vote.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. A massive pile of manure was dumped on the doorstep of the Warren County Democratic Party headquarters in Ohio. Happened over the weekend. Sounds like one of those shovel-ready jobs President Obama's always talking about. Anyway, local news reports indicate it took 3 trucks to move all the fertilizer. That's a whole lot of meadow muffins, even for Democrats. Police said the entire incident was captured on video, but so far no one's been arrested. If they're searching for suspects, they might want to check with the DNC. A few weeks ago, one of their campaign buses dumped a boatload of human waste on a public street in Georgia. The Democrats said it was an accident. Nevertheless, what happened in Warren County, Ohio, is a perfect metaphor for the 2016 presidential election, which is why I bought a pair of hip waders come Election Day. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio and to the radio program Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman. Did you find those blogs that Ed was talking about
yet? I sure did, and I'm going to get them on the Facebook page. And coming up at 11 o'clock.
Central time.
11 o'clock Central, 11 a.m. Central, we're going to have Jeremy Dice of First Liberty. He's senior counsel for First Liberty Institute. Many of our listeners know that law firm for defending religious liberty.
Now, what's he going to be talking about?
He's going to be talking about Dr. Walsh from Georgia, who we had Todd Starnes on last week to talk about. He broke the story on here.
This is Dr. Eric Walsh. This is people, you're not going to believe this story.
Okay, give us a 30-second synopsis, and then we'll...
Here's a man who is a lay minister who was working for the Georgia Department of Health. He was hired, and then someone got suspicious. They asked to check his sermons. When they found out that he preached biblically on human sexuality, marriage, family, and criticized Islam, he was fired. Mm-hmm. And he's now suing, and the state of Georgia is demanding all his sermons.
Yeah. Attorney General of Georgia.
Attorney General
of
Georgia.
Sermons.
They want his sermons, if you can believe it.
Sermon notes.
Sermon notes, transcripts. And apparently what Georgia, the state of Georgia, is wanting to do, the Attorney General, is decide whether or not a minister can work in the state, in the Department of Health, if he has preached X, Y, or Z on these issues. Can you believe we're at that place? At that place where and so that's going to be a story. I'm already getting
so we're going to talk to talk to his attorney.
Right, we're going to talk to his attorney. Okay. And he's going to tell us the inside loops on what's going on. And also at 11:15 a.m. Central, we're going to talk to Ray Comfort of Living Waters Ministry about his new film.
So if you want to hear somebody who talks funny, then you stay around till 11:15 Central Time.
He's New Zealander. Is he New Zealander?
Yeah, he's New Zealand. Yeah, and Ray,
We probably talk funny to him.
Yeah, but we all talk similar. He's a very different.
This is when Yankees and Southerners can agree on somebody's
accent.
That
a New Zealander talks funny. We can come together over that. Hey, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Monday's Jeremy Wiggins joins us at 10:35 here. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Tim. Morning, Ed. Morning, Walker.
Tell us about your weekend show and how people can listen to it.
Well, we have a little program that airs Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central Time called In the Trenches, and we take a look back at what's happened around American Family Radio. We also produce some of our own content that we put in there, too, so we like to have a little bit of fun also. And if you'll permit me to have a little bit of – I know you guys are very serious here on Today's Issue.
We are, and we don't.
And so there's no room for joking.
No, there's very little.
Now, most of our listeners know that – at AFR, we cannot endorse a candidate for any election, but that will not stop us from endorsing sports teams to win World Series titles.
Okay.
So go ahead, Brent. This is my little plug-in for my team.
All right! Let me hear you! Everybody!
You can sing along if you want, Tim.
Okay, so... the Cubs won last night, I'm assuming.
They did. But they're still down by
game 3-2.
They're still down by one, and it's back to Cleveland. So.
That was Will Ferrell we were hearing, right?
No, that was original Harry Carey.
Harry Carey.
I knew that.
Was it a seventh inning stretch?
Seventh inning stretch.
Harry Carey here.
A one, a two. That guy had the largest glasses ever put on a human face.
Harry Carey. They were goggles.
They were.
He looked like a fly.
So the Cubs and the Indians. Now, if the Cubs win the World Series, that is in the Book of Revelation.
Especially and winning the last three games of the World Series.
It's a sign that the end is upon us.
Yes.
If they win the last three games?
They'd have to win the last three games to
Which
do it.
Which chapter is that?
What?
Revelation.
I'd have to go back.
That would be a chapter soon.
Yeah, I think the Book of Revelation actually says do not add to the contents of this book.
Get that out the cross reference, though. I think the Cubs are mentioned in there. Anyway, the Cleveland Indians haven't won the World Series since 1948 or something like that. So
it's been a long time coming for either team, but I had to put a plug in there for the Cubbies.
Because you're from northern Indiana, nearby Chicago, so they.
The interesting thing is, and before we get into the story, you know, my wife is from northern Chicago. Is from Chicago.
Right.
Her whole family are Sox fans. So
Southsiders.
Yeah. The only people I actually know who are Cubs fans are the people who either live next to Wrigley or don't live in Chicago at all.
Well, Hillary Clinton's a Cubs fan now.
Point taken.
Yeah, she's
now.
Right. And she now she's wearing a Cubs hat.
Oh, my goodness.
Classic politician
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Where, all right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Jeremy, what you got there in the news you want to talk about?
Well, it's interesting. You guys were – the last story that you were talking about with Fred Jackson, you made some interesting conversation, some points about mainline denominations and their beliefs and just how obscure – we have come from believing what's actually in the Bible.
Yeah, we're talking about historic denominations that have that trailblazed the gospel across the country.
Methodist Church.
Methodist, Presbyterian. Mm-hmm. Now, I know when we say Presbyterians, you have the conservative Presbyterians who say, hey, don't lump us in with
right.
But the Presbyterian Church USA. United Methodist Church,
mm-hmm. Church.
Episcopalian Church. These are the Lutherans, and there are different branches of Lutheranism.
There are conservative Lutheran churches.
But those churches, and there are others that would be called the mainline Protestant denominations.
Mm-hmm. Now, what
go ahead.
Oh, what I have here is a survey that was done by Lifeway and Ligonier Ministries, which is R.C. Sproul's ministry. Yeah. And what they did was they interviewed 3,000 people, and they asked them a set of 47 statements about Christian theology, everything from the divinity of Christ to the nature of salvation to the importance of regular church attendance.
So now, who are they asking? Who's they surveying here?
This was just three. They just did a random selection of 3,000 Americans.
Oh, this is general public?
Yeah, and out of that, they identified through responses that 586 were evangelicals.
Okay.
So they didn't ask them up front if you were an evangelical or not. But they
asked some questions about whether you believe the Bible is authoritative. Mm-hmm. And so the
586. Now, those are those who strongly agreed that the Bible is the highest authority for Christian belief. Personal evangelism is very important. Jesus' death on the cross is the only way to cancel the penalty of sin, and that trusting in Jesus is the only way to eternal salvation. They looked at those, the way that these people answered those questions, and that's how they determined that they were evangelicals. But even then, there's some strong, shocking responses. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. Let's pretend that we're taking this survey here, even though it's not really a random selection, as I kind of know how you guys are going to lean. But so do you agree with this statement or not agree with this statement? God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Do you agree with that statement or disagree?
Disagree.
64% agree with that statement.
Of evangelicals or general public?
Of the general public agrees with that.
That didn't surprise me.
Yeah. And then they asked all of these other questions, too. So let's...
just for those maybe who are listening who aren't Christians or... maybe they're new Christians and they're wondering, what's wrong with that? I don't know why Tim and Ed said that they disagree. Read the question again.
God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
Well, the reason that's false is Christianity is the only way to heaven and to please God. So Islam is a completely different religion. Judaism is a different religion. Now, Judaism and Christianity are... have their connections through the Bible, but God of the New Testament, which is also the God of the Old Testament, does not accept worship from religions that don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as the one true Son of God. If I got that right,
and I would say that religions like Hinduism, which worship a 300 million different gods. They are worshiping demons. That's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 10, I think. He says that when you worship idols, there are demons behind that. So obviously those folks would be out. They are not worshiping God. They're worshiping demons. Islam does not worship the true God because they're worshiping
They worship Allah.
They worship Allah, who is... Go ahead.
Yeah, and another thing, I just looked up John 14:6, and it says, this is Jesus here. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So even for the religions that don't even recognize Jesus as the Son of God, then you can't even access the Father without recognizing Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, are you guys ready to have your minds blown, though?
Yeah.
That was 64% of the general public. 48% of evangelical respondents agree to that. So half... of those who identified as evangelicals agreed with that statement.
We got a serious problem within the evangelical Christian church in America of biblical illiteracy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
And they can't even, you guys talked about homosexuality and the sin of homosexuality and adultery. According to the Ligonier survey, self-identified evangelicals who attended church once or twice per month, when asked if sex outside of traditional marriage is a sin, only 52% of self-identified evangelicals agree with that statement. So half of evangelicals believe that sex outside of traditional marriage is a sin.
We got to step up our game.
The other half,
our preachers
got to
step
agree.
It up.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
even if you look at abortion too, only 48% of self-identified evangelicals agree with the statement that abortion is a sin. So that you flip the numbers on that. 52% of evangelicals believe that abortion is not a sin.
Yeah, you have a case either of, as Walker said, of preachers not addressing these issues, not teaching biblically on them, or you have a pretty widespread rebellion on your hands where people are hearing what the Bible says, but they're going, well, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. The Catholic Church has wrestled with that for decades where they have their particular teaching on whether it's birth control or abortion or whatever. And you have a lot of people who call themselves Catholics, and they'll say, I don't care what the church teaches, I don't believe that. And apparently the same thing is happening with evangelicals.
Yeah, and I want to say, I'm not trying to put it all on the preacher's back, It starts at the pulpit, but I will say each individual Christian is responsible for what they know and what they don't know, and we need to be able to defend our faith. And it's seeming like a lot of people aren't studying up on what they believe and what they don't.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net. Now, Walker, this survey that Jeremy's referencing here, have you got it posted on our Facebook page yet?
I will soon when I find out where it's from. Okay.
Well, Ligonier posted it at thestateoftheology.com. Okay. It's in depth there. There's graphs, and you can look at the responses of all 47 of these statements right there.
Just 1 minute here on this. The issue of homosexuality in the Bible is clear. It's unnatural, immoral, and unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's sinful, and the Bible refers to it as such, just as the Bible says adultery or premarital sex.
Fornication, sure.
Or lying, cheating, and stealing. Okay. All right, there are things in the Bible that are forbidden for people to practice, otherwise it's considered sin, and homosexuality is one of those activities that just read. You can just several references, several biblical references to that. Mm-hmm. But what's happened today in the Christian among many Christians is that they are, this is being promoted full tilt all over the place on television, in the movies, in magazines, in music,
mm-hmm.
politics. And so if you have the view that I've just expressed, which has been the view of the Christian church for 2,000 years, then you are going to be marginalized, you're going to be called names, bigot, homophobe, hater, and most Christians recoil at being called that, and they feel the need to explain themselves. No, I'm not. I'm not a hater. Mm-hmm. Please don't call me a bigot. I'm not a homophobe. I really love people. Let me show you how. So people get defensive, especially Christians. For a Christian to be called a hater is the worst thing you can call them, because they want to live their lives to express the love of Jesus Christ to everybody. So you throw the hater on them,
mm-hmm.
they get real defensive.
They wilt. Well,
huh?
They wilt.
They wilt. So a lot of Christians, they won't speak on this issue because they're scared to be called those names that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But a substantial percentage of them, as you just referenced, mm-hmm. Jeremy, have bought the lie and are actually beginning to say, no, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't think it's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going with the world on this one so that I don't get criticized.
Well, and I think we can come back to what is the cause of this. And I think what we're experiencing now in our culture is that people have there's an inverse relationship that the human being has between their view of self and their view of God. Mm-hmm. The higher you view yourself, the lower you view God.
Yeah.
And so if you have a very high view of self, you have a low view of God and a low view of sin, whereas the Christian's state of mind is supposed to have the high view of God, low view of self, and then a high view of sin. But what we're seeing now is people don't want to recognize what exactly sin is. They have bought into the lie that the Bible does not contain ultimate truth, that there's no such thing as ultimate truth. They've allowed, there's more statistics in here about how a large percentage of people surveyed believes that science trumps the Bible. And so we as Christians recognize that the science and the Bible are not incompatible. There are many beautiful scientific truths that are revealed right there in the scriptures. You can you view, you know, day and night, the orbit of the earth, you know, you view all of these things are right there in scripture. But it really comes back to is people build themselves up, as they have since the fall. They build themselves up as their own God, and they only want to turn to God when it's useful for them, or they feel like they could get something out of it.
What else you got, Brother Jeremy?
Well, that's what I wanted to focus on.
Is that what you got?
Yes, sir. That is what I have for today.
Can you juggle? Or
I can tap dance with the best of them. We can
well, tap dancing in radio. I don't know.
Well, juggling in radio isn't much better.
No.
Although, if you juggle glasses or something, we can hear them.
Yeah, that would be great. Where is this study you're referencing here? That's pretty interesting.
Well, there's two. You can go to thestateoftheology.com, which is where Ligonier has posted it up. Mm-hmm. But you can also go to Christianity Today, and they talk about evangelicals' favorite heresies revisited by researchers. I can read you. There's actually some more shocking statistics.
Give me one more shocking statistic, and then I want to talk about something else for just a minute.
71% of those surveyed believe that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God.
They don't believe that Jesus
is eternal? They don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe he is one of God's creations.
71%. Now,
the general American public?
The general American public believe, 3,000 respondents believe that Jesus was a created being.
You got a bunch of ignorant Americans out there. And I use that term not as a. How do I use that term? I'm not sure exactly what
you've given speeches before.
Ignorant means without knowledge.
Right, but you've said we don't need no more ignorant Christians.
We don't need no more.
That's a talk I give when I go out in public. I
will say this.
We don't need no more ignorant Christians, but we're talking about the general public right here. They don't know.
There is a silver lining here.
Okay.
All right. Obviously, this is tragic. The silver lining is, if Christians will get out of their pews and go and witness,
right,
what you're not going to hear from people a lot is, oh, yeah, I know all that. Because apparently they don't.
No.
So
no,
what you're going to do is you're going to go out there and you're going to find a lot of people who go, well, I don't really know much about Jesus. What do you want to tell me?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was for years, you know, especially down here in the South, the Bible Belt, they call it, where everybody knew a little bit about Jesus, you know, so the basics. Yeah, he died on the cross for my sins, and that.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a growing percentage of the American people, the general public, who don't know anything about it.
No,
and this is an opening, folks. Learn you some apologetics.
Yeah.
And go out there and witness.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, Tim, I thought though that this was with our pray and vote special coming up tomorrow night, when we're looking at how we can pray for our country and the direction that we are headed in. You know, this really made me think about the fact that a lot of evangelicals, people who, you know, they go to church a couple times a month and they give to the offering box and, you know, they participate in the building committee and all that stuff, who they don't know what's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that as evangelicals we can point people towards the direction that we feel that is God-honoring for this country unless we know what God says, unless we know what is God-honoring, and that's only found in the Bible.
I think Walker had it right, too, that for a lot of people, even church attenders, I watch some hockey and I watch some football. I'm not saying you can't watch anything, but I study the scriptures when I'm at home. Mm-hmm. I read books on it. I'm not saying it's wall-to-wall, but I think we have far too many Christians who are more concerned with what's up with the Kardashians,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what's on television, rather than reading their Bible and wrestling with some of these issues. What does the Bible say? I'm going to read the 8 passages in the Bible that deal with the subject of homosexuality. I'm going to go and read them for myself, and I'm going to study it. I'm going to think about it.
You're right.
I don't think there's a lot of Christians doing that.
No, mm-hmm. no, there's not. And, you know, it goes beyond that. Not only do we take what we learn, what we are reading in the Scripture, we pray over it. And you know, AFA does such a great job. We have these excellent Bible teachers on AFR all the time. We have pray.afa.net, where you're actually praying the scriptures back to God. Mm-hmm. But that's what we as evangelicals need to do, is not only do we read what is in the scriptures, we meditate on it. That's an important part.
Well, yeah, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues, by the way, on the American Family Radio Network. That was Jeremy Wiggins. Jeremy, when does your show come on?
Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central.
And it's called In the Trenches.
It's called In the Trenches. Wake up, get your cup of American Family coffee going,
you
can join us. Ed Vitagliano is up and at him every Saturday morning, just not at 6, though. But he's close.
Oh,
we're going to get him there.
You do podcasts for those who sleep in on Saturday morning. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. And Walker, what do you got posted on our Facebook page?
Well, I've got Jeremy's, all the latest surveys he's spoken about posted. I have Ed's blogs on homosexuality posted.
Wow, you're on the ball over there.
Yeah.
Today, it's the Today's Issues Facebook page on American Family Radio.
Got to keep my job. Yeah. So anyway, you know, if you want to know more about the show, you can visit AFR.net or visit the Today's Issues Facebook page.
What you got going on here in America today with the... you know, America used to be, generally speaking, a God-fearing country. That is, that's not to say that, you know, everybody was born again or everybody was a Christian, but even non-Christians, generally speaking, again, had a reverence for the things of God and the Bible and Jesus, and so they didn't mock. Mm-hmm. They didn't make fun of. Mm-hmm. They didn't look at the Bible and say it's not true, or all roads lead to God, those kinds of modern day views that are held by many Americans. So we moved away from that, and I think in large part due to the influence of Hollywood and the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. who set out in the 70s, 80s, and beyond, and further, and now to they moved from respect for religion and Christianity in particular, to even though it wasn't, Hollywood never has been controlled by the Christians, they moved from a respect, healthy respect, but to not offend your audience, to a full scale attack.
Right.
This came along in the 70s, gradually got worse in the 80s, 90s. Today, the entertainment industry, for the most part, through the movies, the music, the television programs, just pop culture. if you subscribe to the Christian moral value system, you are under siege. Mm-hmm. We are under siege. So now we're having to contend with the world in a confrontational way on a regular basis. And for many of our brothers and sisters, they can't take that. They can't hold up to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They run for the tall grass to hide so that they don't have to contend with the world. I'm not saying you go out looking for a fight every day, but the fight's going to come to you, and so many of our brothers and sisters cower.
That's what Jesus said.
I'll say this.
Christians, Walker, you say what you want to say, and then you...
I was just going to say, go ahead.
Christians have to armor up, because if we think we're under pressure in America... I mean, you think about in history and right now in the Middle East, the pressure, the persecution that these Christians are under, and they still stand by their faith. If we can't suffer an argument with someone in the world about whether our beliefs are valid or not, we need to do some
pretty
internal.
Weak.
Yeah, we need to do some internal
searching. We're not being beheaded for the faith,
right?
So if those 21 Coptic Christians can stand steadfast and be beheaded on a Libyan beach for their faith, my goodness, folks, we can stand a little argument around the water cooler, can't we?
Right. Well, this is going to be it's going to be interesting to see, what happens. But I don't see the mainline Protestant denominations being around in 10 to 20 years. If most of them are a graying, I say that with all due respect to people who have gray hair.
Like me.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it's an older demographic that have been loyal to those churches.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, why it's so important. You know, AFA we have Engage Magazine, as are reaching out to the millennials because they are the future. They're the ones who are going to be picking up the torch and carrying it. And we need to make sure that where that torch is laid down is a place that lies within Scripture.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Jeremy Wiggins joining us. Every time I say your last name, I think of Carol Burnett's show.
Mr. Wiggins?
Mrs. Wiggins? Tim Conway's character?
Oh, Tim Conway.
Mrs.
Wiggins?
Mrs. Wiggins?
Mrs. Wiggins? Would you come in here for just a minute? I need to see you.
Walker's lost again.
Everything y'all talk about, jokes are about...
Google.
Wait till you're old like
us. Google Tim Conway and Mrs. Wiggins.
Or change your last name to Wiggins, then you'll hear all about it.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.